Great to have Jace and Emma Levine here with us. And Jace serves as our Omega Global Director at our Bible College, Summit Pacific College in Abbotsford. And he's a sports enthusiast, a board game strategist, and a serial fanatic. But first and foremost, a follower of Jesus. And so he hails both him and Emma Hale from Ontario, but they have seen the light and come to BC and have stayed. And actually, Jace has convinced his parents to follow him. So this is even a better thing. But it's great to have them here this morning. And let's just welcome Jace as he comes to share the word of the Lord with us this morning.
Generations Church, thank you so much for welcoming us to share in your food and in your Sunday mornings with you. It's always a privilege to be welcomed and invited to speak because I understand that this is your home and you choose wisely who you let into your home. And so we're grateful to be with you this morning. If not for mission, I wouldn't be here. If not for mission, I wouldn't be here. I never imagined myself to be someone who would be speaking at a church on a Sunday morning. And yet, here I am with you guys this morning. I never imagined moving across the country from the promised land to BC to work at a Bible college. I never saw that in the cards. I never imagined even being in full-time ministry. If it was up to me, I would be moonwalking right now in space because I've always wanted to be an astronaut. Definitely not because of the costume that they wear, but I'm just absolutely fascinated with space. But as I look back at different moments throughout my life, I recognize that it was mission, being on mission, whether locally or abroad, that cemented my faith. That in the times that growing up as a child or a youth where I doubted or wondered if this was real, if this faith meant something to me, it was times where I was engaged in mission that I look back to cement my faith in Jesus Christ. If not for mission, I wouldn't be here. And I haven't been able to shake, despite my attempts to run away from the call that God has for me, despite my discontent with, you know, being in ministry at times, there's something about it that I can't shake. There's something about it that I can't run away from. And so I understand very strongly that God has a specific role for me. And as I continue to say yes to God, whether that's here in Canada, in BC, or around the world, that I recognize that every time I say yes, that role, that calling becomes more and more clear. Predominantly, I work with students and young adults, and I hear this all the time. I don't know what to do with my life. I'm sure parents, you guys have heard that once or twice yourselves. I hear it all the time. I don't know what God wants me to do. And I used to think that this was just something that students would say or young adults would say as they figured out the next step in their lives. But I've come to realize that I think many adults have that very same question. They might have their career. They might know where they're rooted. But there's still that question, what is my role in the kingdom of God? And I think that we can find that when we look to mission. Together, we all have a specific role. And I believe is that as a community, as a church, as we continue to say yes to what it is that God has before us every day, that that role and that calling for us becomes clearer and clearer every time. When I think about being engaged in mission, I usually jump to Acts chapter 2. Which I think a lot of us might when we talk about Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit was poured out and we were empowered to be a witness and to be on mission. But I've come to realize that the Spirit of God has always been interested in mission. The Spirit of God has always promoted reaching out to the people who have yet to believe. The Holy Spirit has always been about expanding the kingdom of God. Here in Nanaimo, across the world, and all throughout history. And so together, I want us to look to Ezra chapter 1. Maybe a portion of scripture that you may not necessarily go to too often when you're talking about mission, but I believe it demonstrates the heart of God and the Spirit of God in mission. And so we turn to that together. We start reading in verses 1, and we're going to read the entire chapter. It's only 11 verses in. I want you to look for where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is present in this scripture. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem, and let each survivor in whatever place he sojourns be assisted by the men of his place, with silver and gold, with goods and with beasts, besides freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. And all who were about them aided them with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with costly wares, besides all that was freely offered. Cyrus, the king, also brought out the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and placed in the house of his gods. Cyrus, king of Persia, brought these out in the charge of Mithridath, the treasurer, who counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this was the number of them: 30 basins of gold, 1,000 basins of silver, 29 censers, 30 bowls of gold, 410 bowls of silver, and 1,000 other vessels. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up when the exiles were brought up from Babylonia to Jerusalem. I believe that the Spirit of God is very evident in this text. This text is talking about when the Jews who had been taken into captivity out of Israel, out of Jerusalem, and under Babylonian captivity. But King Cyrus was now releasing the Jews to return to their homeland, return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And it's this beautiful portion of scripture that talks about the faithfulness of God, that God promised them that he would restore his kingdom, and that this was the very first task, was for them to go back. And so as we look through this, I see three main truths that we see about mission, and it begins with what it means for us. We see that in verse 5, when it says, then rose up the heads of the fathers, houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit stirs our hearts to go. King Cyrus made this proclamation to all the Jews in the land that if you want to return to your homeland, if you want to return back to Jerusalem, if you want to walk in the promise that God had promised you, you can go. Not everybody went, though. The people who chose to return to Jerusalem were those whose hearts were stirred by the Spirit of God. When God sends us, when God calls us to go, it's because he's stirred our hearts. Because he's put this burden in our hearts, that there's this feeling that we can't shake, that we have to go. Not everybody will have this, but when the Spirit of God stirs our heart, our only response should be yes. Our only response should be that of obedience, to go because God is calling us to go. The Jews who decided to leave Babylonia, the place where they began to set their roots, where their families were growing, in a culture, in a place that they had become familiar over the years, they were leaving all that was now comfortable behind and going to a place that was desolate, that was barren. When they were going, they were saying yes to a lot of hard work. When God calls us to be on mission, it's not easy. There's hard work in front of us, but we have to respond to that stirring in our heart when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says that we need to go. God looks for a voluntariness or a willingness to respond when he speaks. This year, with the Omega Global students, there's going to be about 45 of us traveling in May. And this year, unlike the last number of years, it's been a while since we've gone to a restricted access nation. And when I announced that we were going to be going into an area that has obstacles and restrictions on the gospel and speaking about Jesus, first and foremost, my wife and my mother said, "What are you doing? Why are you going there? There's danger. I want you to come home." But there was a stirring in my heart that God placed to say, "Jace, this is where you need to go." And so when he spoke that to me, my only response could be yes. Not that it was easy to come to that yes, but the only way that I could move forward was to be obedient to what God was calling me. I think about the moments that I have been called to go in the past. And I think of the very first time I went overseas on a mission trip. I did it with the Omega Global program as a student, not as a director. And we went to the nation of Brazil. And in Brazil, I remember that it was so significant. I knew that I was going to reach out to the people there, but I didn't realize that in allowing God to speak to me and say, "Jace, you need to go and do this," that he was actually doing it and speaking it for myself. That there was a part of me that needed to be touched by his spirit in going. I remember we were putting on a church service in this one community in Brazil. And this community was known for demonic activity and oppression of the church. So not exactly the most lighthearted environment to go into as a team. And so we were presenting our presentation. We were walking through our church service, and we'd been there all day, and we'd felt different obstacles and pushback the entire time we were there. And I remember as I was praying, I was welcoming everybody into the service, and this time I wasn't responsible for anything on the stage. And so I just welcomed and greeted, and I prayed at the back. And I'm not going to go fully into the details of the story, but in that moment, I was welcoming people, and I think everybody had made their way in. And then the director's wife had come out of the church, and she was crying, and I thought that was a little different than normal. And she said, "Jace, I feel this really strong demonic oppression in this moment." And so I said, "Okay, I've never encountered that before. I stayed away from those movies because I get scared really easily. I get scared by my wife when she's in my house, when she walks around the corner, knowing that she's been there for the last 4 hours. And I get spooked really easily." And so I'm just like, "Okay, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to pray." And I was praying outside of this church. And the first thing that I said, "Lord, would your hand come down from heaven? Would you circle your church, and would you lift it up?" So I prayed that. I didn't think too much of it, and I continued to pray. And as I was praying, I felt this oppression that the wife of the director had felt. And at the end of the service, we were debriefing as a team, and there's discouragement across the team. It didn't go well. There wasn't a great response. All these different things that made us question our purpose in this moment, our purpose that we had been sent here. But it was amazing because the wife of the director, she ended up standing up to encourage the team, and she said this. She said, "You guys may not feel like you guys did a great work, that the kingdom was expanded, that you're validated in being sent to this community. But I want to tell you something that I saw tonight. As I left the church and I was praying, I saw the hand of God visually come down from heaven, circle around the church, and then start lifting it up. And I was blown out of my mind." And it was in that moment that God called me into full-time ministry, that I knew that I didn't want a life that was apart from moments like this. I didn't want to continue to live not being sent, because when we're sent, we see the faithfulness of God. When we respond in obedience to that stirring, he's faithful to come through. And I give this, I see this when God stirs our hearts to go as a work of his grace in our lives. As he shows us that he first was sent. He first made his way to the cross so that I could be reached. And so now, as I've accepted that, and that grace has meant something to me, now I get to do the same for other people. When the Holy Spirit stirs our heart to go, I hope generations that will say yes. When we read through this scripture in Ezra, I see that the Holy Spirit not only stirs hearts to go, but he stirs hearts to send. We read that in verses 6. And it says, all who were about them aided them with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, with costly wares, besides all that was freely offered. And so when this declaration was made by the king to go, and the Spirit stirred up the hearts of some Jews to return to their homeland, to expand the kingdom of God, some went, and some stayed because they didn't feel that same stirring to go. But some of them felt that stirring in another way. They felt that stirring to aid those who were going. They sent money, they sent beasts, they sent valuables. And that was their response to obedience. Sometimes we highlight and we get excited about those who are going. But I think that God is just as happy, just as pleased with those who respond to the stirring to send than for those to go. That as we all find what our role is in the mission of God, that maybe your role is not to go, is not to leave Nanaimo, but it's to help other people get there, wherever there is. That if the Holy Spirit stirs your heart to give, the only response that we should move in is one of obedience, is one that says yes to what it is that God is speaking. I'm always, always so impressed by the hearts of those who give. Always. I recently was just on a Skype conversation with someone who was working and living in a restricted access nation. And he was telling me, because he just landed there in the last 6 months, he has a hard time understanding, comprehending the fact that his entire work there in that country is a result of other people's generosity. He's not making a wage. He doesn't have a full-time job there in that country. But because of the generosity of those whose hearts have been stirred to give and to send, he is able to go and to meet the needs of that country. It's a beautiful thing to recognize that as a church, as a people, we can be those who send. We may not see that frontline work. We may not get the reports back from the field. But it's not so much about hearing those stories, being encouraged and inspired by those stories, as it's our responsibility to be obedient to what God has put in front of us. And so when God calls us to give, it's about our response to God, not about the story that we can generate. Not about that mark that we can show and tell to our congregation. Although those are all great things, it's about our response to God. I see this firsthand when I was pastoring in Ontario. And in the community that I was living in, it was a very large tobacco industry. At least it was. But because of government regulations and some other factors, the tobacco industry was killed in this area. And so as a result, there is a few people, there's the wealthy class, and then there's a very, very predominant lower class. And so upwards of 40% of my youth ministry from junior high to senior high were students who either came from a family on welfare or came from a broken home or came from a home that was on that lower end of the spectrum. And so we would try to do youth retreats and junior high retreats and different things like that. And it broke my heart as time after time after time, I would put that out there and a student would come to me and says, "Jace, I really, really want to come, but I have nothing to pay with." And sometimes I would ask them, like, how much of it can you pay? Sometimes it'd be like, "I've got $2. And they were willing to give everything that they had to be there. And so it broke my heart hearing this over and over and over again. So I got up in front of my church and I asked, "Is there anybody who sees the same need that I do? And you can sponsor a kid to come to retreat." And time again, our church responded as their hearts were stirred to give. And there was never a time that I couldn't offer a student a sponsorship to come. Let me share an example. I was able to bring some students to our junior high retreat. And one of the things that we do, because we lived in a rural small town, is I take them into the big city and I take them to the biggest arcade in Ontario. And you can just imagine junior highs full on sugar, hot dogs, and an arcade. It's an absolute crazy experience. But I was so, so moved because at the end of it, so you play all these games and you get tickets and you buy things at the counter, different prizes. And so when we got on the bus, the junior high leaders and all the junior high students presented me, and I know this sounds a little funny, but presented me with a bobblehead of Donatello, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Because that's my favorite character. But what was so moving about this was that the junior high students valued so much that they were sponsored to come that they all pooled their tickets to buy it for me. And I was shocked that a bunch of grade sixes to eights had that kind of heart of generosity. And I get the privilege of continuing to look at the Donatello that's in my office. I get the privilege of having that moment where they give and they share that with me that my congregation wouldn't. And I try my best to explain it and share it and cast that vision before them so that they could see that too. But it's not about that. It's not about the fact that I was sent and they were the ones who sent me. It's about the fact that they were obedient to what God was calling them to. And I was obedient to what God is calling me to. And if we engage in mission like that together, we're going to see the kingdom of God expanded in our communities, in Nanaimo, in our province, British Columbia, and our nation, Canada, as Darcy mentioned. Another thing that I see, another truth that I see about the Holy Spirit and mission is found in verse 1, that the Holy Spirit stirs people's hearts to go, stirs people's hearts to send, and stirs the hearts of those that are far off. Read with me in verse 1. "In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and also put it in writing." Okay, King of Cyrus is not a part of the people of God. King Cyrus isn't a believer, and yet it says that the Holy Spirit stirred up his heart. This should be encouraging to us to know that despite us, despite our obedience or disobedience, that God currently is stirring the hearts of those who are far from him to do his work. Because he is sovereign and he is in control. That gives us hope that God is actively working in mission with or without us. Our choice to engage in mission benefits us because we get to see the faithfulness of God. We get to witness those people come closer to him. We get to be a part of what it is that God is already doing. I think of another time that I was in Brazil. We had done our service. I was on the front prayer team, and I remember this gentleman coming before me. And he just started sobbing on my shoulder. Generally, I don't have too many 28-year-old men sobbing on my shoulder. So I was taken aback. And so I'm like, okay, what can I do? I can pray. He can't speak English. I can't speak Portuguese. It's perfect. I can say anything, and he's going to think that it sounds really good if I just elevate my passion, right? And so I was praying for him, and I didn't know what happened. He left, and he found me afterwards, and he gave me the hat that he was wearing. It was his favorite soccer team, and I still have it. And I had a translator come, and what was so impactful about that moment was in that moment, nothing to do with me, nothing to do with me, that this young man gave his heart back to the Lord that night. This was the son of the mayor in the town, who also was one of the drug dealers in the community. And he had left the church 10 years ago, and out of a favor to his dad, he came that night. And the Holy Spirit, who's at work in the hearts of those who are far off, led him to me so that I could respond in obedience and pray. And then he became someone who's no longer far off, but was someone who experienced the grace of God in his life too. It's all about the grace of God in our lives. I think about how the Holy Spirit stirs hearts that are far off, talking about mission. And I think about me, because there was a time in my life where I would have considered myself far off, where I didn't value what he values. I didn't care about what he cared about. I found my way into church and out of church pretty quickly. I always would hide in the moments when you had to meet somebody new in the congregation. I was always out as quick as I could so I could get back home to watch football. But there was a moment where God and the Holy Spirit, where they met me, they stirred my heart. And it was in that moment that I decided, okay, I'll go to Bible college. I'll give you 1 year, that's it. I'm never giving you anything more than that. But I'll give you this little bit. And God brought someone who was far off, repurposed his life, and sent him to be someone who engages in mission. That's the work of grace in my life that I've personally experienced. And so now I do my best to try and engage that for other people. The grace that we're able to receive, whether we go, whether we send other people, or whether we experience it ourselves, is that we have the opportunity to receive the grace of God and show that to other people so that his kingdom will be expanded. Just as those in this story went, sent, and experienced the Holy Spirit so that the kingdom could be expanded then. I want to bring your attention to one last part before we close up. It's found in verses 9, and it's a demonstration of poor math, because if you read all of these numbers, they certainly don't add up to 5,400. I don't know if you noticed that. 30 basins, 1,000 bases, 29, 410, 1,000, that doesn't equal 5,400. And there's a bunch of reasons why that we don't need to get into, but I wondered, in this story about how the Holy Spirit sends us on mission, why does it add the counting? We know that every part of Scripture is intentional and it's there for a reason. Why does it add all these things in to see exactly what they sent the Jews with? And it communicates this principle about God, that everything matters. Everything matters. It matters how you respond to the Holy Spirit when he tells you to go. Whether that's across the pond to Bella Bella, whether that's formerly across the country to Ontario, I believe it's Spirit Lake, whether that's around the world, wherever God is sending you, it matters how you respond. It matters how you respond when you're called to give, especially when you feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit to do that. That's what we're called to do. For all those that the Spirit wants to stir their hearts, those who are far off, your role in their life matters. And you may not have a full picture of what your role is in the lives of those here in Nanaimo, around the world, around our province, But you, every single one of you, matter in the mission that God has called us to partner in with. Everything that you do, everything that you say, it matters. And the Holy Spirit will continue his mission with or without us. But your contribution matters for them and also for you. It's in mission that my faith was cemented. If it wasn't for that, I don't know where I would be. If not for mission, I certainly wouldn't be here. So I want to ask you this morning to consider, what is God stirring your heart towards? Is God stirring your heart right now to go? To go on a short-term missions trip, whether through Generations or through another organization? Is God stirring your heart right now to leave Canada and pursue full-time missions work? It's a tall order. But maybe God is speaking that over your life this morning. Maybe God is speaking to you to give once to the missionaries that this church supports in a one-time donation. Maybe he's stirring your heart right now to become a regular supporting member of a missionary, either in BC or around the world. What is God stirring your heart towards? Is he stirring your heart towards people in your workplace, in your community? Consider what God is stirring your heart towards, because the Holy Spirit cares about mission, and he wants to use you in whatever capacity that he has gifted you for. At the end of the day, we have to answer the question, will it be his will or ours? I try to make my life about his will, to say yes as much as I can. It's not always easy. There's hard work in front. But being privileged to be a part of opportunities to see the Holy Spirit move in our country and around the world are the pieces of my faith, the moments in my faith that make sure that I never waver, that I look back to in times of difficulty to say, I know my God is alive, and I know that he's real to me. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this church body, Lord, and I pray that they would be a people of obedience. God, as you stir and as you speak and as you call, God, that our hearts would respond with yes, with obedience to what it is that you put on our hearts, God. I pray for clarity, that we would come to know what our role is in the mission that you have. God, we know that you are expanding your kingdom, and God, I pray for opportunities to be presented so that we can be a people who see your faithfulness, to be inspired and encouraged by what you are doing. Lord, I thank you for the moments in my life where I've had that opportunity. God, and I pray that I would continue to experience that myself, because you are good, and it's amazing to be a part of that. Lord, thank you so much for mission. Thank you so much for those who believe and those who are yet to believe. We trust you and believe that you are leading and guiding us in this church body. In Jesus' name, amen.